So it was about 5 years ago that my wife and I decided we were going to start a dance studio in Hamden focusing on a dance called West Coast Swing. And the first question I always get is, well, how is West Coast Swing different from, I don't know, the regular kind of swing? And it's a very visual art form, so that I can't say much that will really give you the idea other than just go YouTube it after the show, or we have a booth here. You can come see us at intermission. We'll have videos playing. But I will say this. There are a number of partner dances, West Coast Swing being one, Lindy Hop, Argentine Tango, Salsa, all being others, where there is a community of people who that dance is their jam. Like, that is their thing that they do. It's not just the only dance they do. It's probably their only hobby. People in these communities not only go to a social dance one night where they will spend the entire night dancing just that dance, but my wife and I met at a swing dance convention in San Diego, where we were literally just doing West Coast Swing from Thursday night until Sunday night. And that was the kind of community that we wanted to build in Baltimore. So we started out in this little upstairs back room in a church, which is partly how we named ourselves Ministry of Swing. The other reason was it's just a Monty Python reference. And it was a pretty easy way to get started teaching classes. It wasn't an expensive space to rent, but it was pretty small, and we did start to outgrow it pretty quickly. There's a concept in small business ownership where growth is not a straight line. You can play it safe at first, but eventually you hit a point where if you want to grow any more at all, you have to be in for a penny, in for a pound, and start taking the bigger risks. So this is a story of the risk that we took. It was our decision to move out of that upstairs back room in St. Luke's Church into the old Ideal Movie Theater right on the avenue in Hamden. It was about five times as large. It was, of course, more expensive. It was prime real estate. But there were some things about it that made it just an amazing venue for teaching and hosting dance. First of all, it has these enormous 40-foot wide storefront windows that are overlooking some of the best foot traffic in the city. And like I was saying earlier, dance is a very visual art form. If you're not standing there looking at it and really feeling what's going on and seeing that people are just having a ball doing this, I mean, someone can walk up to you and be like, hey, you want to come take a swing dance class with me? It's pretty easy to shrug it off. But I've very often said that those windows are like just our best marketing tool. And so our classes started to grow, our social dances started to grow, and the idea of building this core community that we were trying to build really started to take off. There were other things about the venue that were not perfect. So one of those things was we found out just before we moved in that there was a dude living upstairs. So we went to see him, and we're like, hey, we're going to be throwing dance parties until midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. Is that going to be an issue? Like, I don't know. Is there sound transfer? Can you hear? And he, in just this very laid-back way, he's like, oh, you do not have to worry about me and loud music. That's what he said. 2020 hindsight, what I think he meant was, listen, if you wake me up during my prime hangover time, I'm going to throw the ugliest hissy fit you've ever seen. And so he did. Now, that really manifested with part of what we had to do when we moved into this much bigger venue was fill the time when we weren't teaching dance. We had to do just venue rental, venue management to other promoters, other teachers, private parties. It wasn't what we wanted to be doing. And truth be told, we were first-time business owners. We did not anticipate some of the problems that we were going to run into. But we had no choice. We needed to make the revenue just to pay the rent. So one of the groups that we rented out to was a church group. It worked perfectly. They wanted the space at 7 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday. No one else wanted it at that time. So I gave them a key. It was just a set it and forget it renter. I stayed in bed, and they paid us a monthly rental check. Perfect. Except that they woke up our grumpy upstairs neighbor. Turns out he was also in a band, so he had a full PA system in his apartment and would start his favorite retaliatory method was he would play normally heavy metal music during their prayer meeting. One time he played Highway to Hell. I'm just thankful that we found a pastor to rent to who had a sense of humor. Okay, but some success stories. We did have some other things that worked really well. One of the things that we really wanted to focus on was inclusiveness. So we flipped the model of most ballroom dance studios. So in most cases, they try and bring you in with group classes, get your feet wet, get you comfortable, and then the primary thing that they do is private lessons. Well, private lessons can get prohibitively expensive for a lot of people. So what we wanted to do is be able to bring people in and really teach them good, solid technique and get them over the hump, get them to the point of being part of a dance community without needing to break the bank. So we developed this whole huge, robust group class structure. In fact, if you're interested in it, we have brochures. So we did that. We created a whole code of conduct that had a declaration of safe space. And let's be honest, after 2016, there being safe space for marginalized members of the community was a really important thing. And it meant a lot to us to be able to offer that space to anyone and everyone who wanted to just come in and dance. Okay, so that was going well until the biggest surprise that we got was when the city downgraded our occupancy rating. I'm not 100% sure why. It has to do with the way they classify the type of activity that goes on in the space. But our landlord promised us 250 people, and they dropped us to 100. And it crippled us. Now, again, I said we were first-time business owners and made a bunch of newbie mistakes. One of them was that our landlord promised us an occupancy level, and I had them put it in the wrong document. So since it wasn't in our lease, it wasn't them being in breach of contract and needing to remedy it immediately. It was us needing to hire a lawyer, roll up our sleeves, and start the fistfight. It took about a year, and it took about $12,000. But we got our lease renegotiated. We got our rent reduced. There's a caveat to that, which is that they put in a provision that if they find someone who wants to pay full price for the venue, they could give us 60 days notice, and we have to hit the road. But until then, here's the silver lining, is that one thing that we wanted to focus on, building community, is the thing that we have been able to do now for the last year since that negotiation took place. And we've had bigger classes than ever before. We've had bigger social dances than ever before. And if tomorrow we wake up to an email from our landlord saying, pack your bags and hit the road, well, then at least now we're not starting from scratch. We've got this community of passionate dancers who we can find a new home, right? We can find a new place to dance. And we can find a new place to declare a safe space, hopefully one without an upstairs neighbor. Thank you.